我总算知道啊，黄金和白银这样的贵金属它安全在哪里了，因为它重啊。
One, two, three. No way! Oh my god! I should be able to hold it.
那30公斤的银条大概价值$70,000，你别看它跟一个板砖一样大小哈，我真的是抬不动。
I need more exercise.
而且在另外一边的金库当中，金条呢也很重。
Still very heavy.Still very heavy. I can do the weightlifting with the most expensive weightlifting.
而12.5公斤重的这样的一块金砖价值接近$2,000,000，而且黄金的密度比白银要大。如果是刚才我们抬的那块白银的大小，金砖的重量呢要接近60公斤了。所以呢，我觉得抢金库根本就不现实嘛。就算你突破了层层的安检，这个玩意儿也重的你拿不走，拿着呢也跑不远。Hello， 大家好，欢迎收看硅谷101，我是陈倩。那么以上呢是我在探访新加坡最大金库 The Reserve 的一小段插曲哈。那我们来到这里啊，其实就是想来探究一下为什么最近市场特别是老钱们又开始追捧实体黄金和白银这样的传统贵金属了。最近啊，这两个资产价格简直涨得不要太夸张了，而新加坡的金库无论是实体白银还是黄金的需求呢都出现了飙升。为什么大家又开始囤贵金属了？我们专访了 The Reserve 的创始人兼CEO Gregor Gregersen.
Precious metals do best in a crisis. We had a 300-400% increase this year over last year, and we expect to be doubling that again this year. Electronics having to go up, food going up, electricity going up, gasoline going up, and gas going up. You're going to have stagflation. In a crisis, physical gold and silver will always be valuable.
What if you're wrong? What if the world doesn't need that much gold?
这个视频啊，就跟我一起走进位于新加坡的这座全球最大私人金库，也聊聊黄金、白银等贵金属全球资产迁移以及资本都在压住一个如何的未来。
首先呢，我想先带大家来看看 The Reserve 的构造。
这是在新加坡樟宜机场旁的一栋6层楼大厦，它看起来平平无奇，但是里面存放着$150亿的黄金和白银。而这个全球最大私人金库之一的缔造者是一位名叫 Gregor Gregersen 的德国裔新加坡企业家，他曾是银行的金融系统架构师，在2009年创立了 Silver Bullion， 花了16年的时间只为做一件事情，就是为即将到来的危机建一座实物资产的诺亚方舟。
Build something which is a high security vault, but it's also a place where people can come. And we wanted to create transparency. And we think nowadays that's a very important feature. So the facility itself can store 10,000 tons of silver. That's about 32% of all production, 500 tons of gold.And we are planning to expand another 2,000 tons to 2,500 tons.
先来带大家看看银库。我们从前台登记到进入银库的整个过程啊，经历过了 N 扇门和身份的认证。那不愧是全世界最难入侵的地方之一啊！那这里有500个闭路摄像头、人员陷阱门、激光探测、震动传感器、动作传感器，还有辅助警察助手等等。
This is the civil vault. Okay, it's guarded by a2.5-ton door is rated as a UL Class 1 door, which means it's capable of withstanding intruders from going in for at least 30 minutes. So every time when we enter a sensitive area, it requires 2 personnel from the safe house to unlock the door.
Wow. Okay, there's another layer.
Yes. So sometimes because when one of our staffs are actually working inside, because it requires...2 person, that's why there is actually one more door as a second layer of defense to prevent people from coming in.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so right now I will require my colleague.
Alright, let's go. Oh, wow.
The metals kept over here are only in silver. Okay, that is a requirement from the insurance. So at our main silver vault, we are capable of storing up to 10,000 tons of silver. Okay, right now you can see over here the capacity is approximately 30% of it. So what you can see over here, we actually segregate the different type of metals. So for these are all silver coins. And you can see like this is the biggest
the
form
bar.
Of silver.
Yeah.
Yes, it's called the LBMA Good Delivery Bar. It weighs approximately 1,000 ounces. That is about 30 to 31 kilo. Every individual pieces are all owned by an individual client. Some might be owned by one client, okay, but every piece, there's an ownership.
I see.
Every piece of bar is individually recorded. So for us, the people at the safe house, we actually know where are the bars being placed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all items, the informations are all kept offline. Which means there is totally no way to actually connect to the internet to actually steal data. I mean, because data today is a very, very precious commodity to the company.
整个银库啊，非常的震撼。脚底呢是32米深的地基，向上看是一个32米高的巨型库房。灯光从巨大的架子上投射下来，每一个架子上都整齐码放着银条。这栋楼的前身是一座自动化的电子元件工厂。Gregson 用4年的时间把它打造成了一个工程奇迹。
What's so special about this building? How can you make sure it's safe, it's secure?
This is a specially built building back in 1997 by an electronics company. Back then, they actually used heavy machinery for their electronics. So they actually moved out in 2017, 2018. So this building was actually up for sale. And the initial price was actually about $28 million. But we actually managed to get it at a $10 million discount.
That's a really good price.
After 3 years.
Gregor is really good at bargaining, I guess.
And what made us buy this building was the floor loading. Because as you mentioned, gold and silver are very heavy.
Right.
And so oftentimes it's not the amount of space you need, but how much weight can you put on the ground before it starts cracking? A normal car park, for example, is 2 kilonewtons in floor loading. Our floor in our main area is 90 kilonewtons. So we are 45 times stronger than a car park. And because of that, I can put about 9.5 tons of weight in 1 square meter. And so I can stack my silver 12 meters high. And that means that I'm very, very efficient compared to most other places. And that gives us a 10,000 ton storage capacity.
Over here, okay, there's no air conditioning.
Yeah, it's very hot here, to be sure.
Because it's
yeah, not... thanks for wearing the jacket for us.
I mean, probably I'm really very used to the,
the
working environment over here. Yeah, because it's to air condition this whole place of 32 meters requires a lot of air conditioning and power. So it's actually not a very economical thing for the company to actually do it. And in fact, if a silver is being exposed very long under aircon, right, it will actually oxidize even faster.
Some of the bars are already showing the blackness. Right?
Yes, because this is a natural reaction of a silver when it comes in contact with the atmosphere. Because
but gold
of the
is
sulfur.
Okay.
Yes, gold will never change color.
Yeah.
But it is very normal for silver to actually change its color. Yes, but it is still silver.
I see.
而对于金库来说呢，因为黄金密度更大，价值更高，并且呢不需要像银库这么大的空间，但是安全性的要求呢会更高，要达到保险公司要求的 UL Class 2金库标准，也就是能够将入侵者阻挡一个小时。
Over here, we are about to enter is the gold vault. It's a Class 2 UL Class 2 vault that can withstand intruders from going for at least an hour.Okay, so same thing when we enter a sensitive place, I will have my own set of pin code over here. My colleague will actually be one of the key holder. Okay. So this door is slightly smaller, but it weighs at least 1.5 ton.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Is it heavy to even to push and pull?
No, you can try.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
But it's hard to imagine it's 1.5 ton.
1.5 ton, yes. So if you see in the movies why sometimes they open the door very slowly, it's not because it's heavy, but because there is a security measure inside. Okay, we cannot break it because otherwise the door will be locked shut permanently.
I see.
Yes. So this door is a one-time disposable door, which means once it is permanently locked, we cannot go in.We have to wait for the certified contractor to actually come down, remove the door, and replace the door. Only then business will continue.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So what kind of circumstance will make the door locked?
Wrong
pin.
So if, let's say today somebody tries to break in, they can use the best tools, best drilling tools.
Yeah.
They start to drill. Okay. Firstly, of course, it will actually...trigger our security alarm sensors. All right. And then once they start drilling, there's a very thin glass, it will break. The door will permanently lock shut.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And today, if they successfully even drill a hole, all right, the moment when they pull out their drill bit, the hole will be covered. And then they will have to spend another hour drilling.
Oh,
because this is a security.
The hole will be covered by...
Yes, there are some materials inside. Uh-huh. Okay, this is a security feature that it will just back to zero.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Interesting. Wow. Very expensive door, I guess. Oh, so this is a gold vault?
Yes.
I thought it's something similar to the silver vault, no?
So you can see the silver vault is at least more than 10 times bigger than gold.
Yeah.
Because gold is actually so small. Uh-huh. The bigger piece is also up to 400 ounces, uh-huh. which is about 12.5 kilos.
Yes.
Okay. And most retail clients, what they'll purchase is up to 1 kg uh-huh. gold bar. Okay.
So
we probably later we can show you uh-huh. something over here. So because gold is not in a very big form, we actually created pigeon holes like that
mm-hmm.
okay, to efficiently store them.
I see.
So one box can probably take up to 16 kg worth mm-hmm. of gold and platinum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then over here, they are all manually mm-hmm. being placed inside
mm-hmm.
and record as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as I mentioned, all datas over here are actually all offline.
I see.
Yes. Okay. So if you are wondering why per box we are only putting 16 kilo, because firstly, there is no machinery. It's all hand carried by us. We have to set a safety guideline
mm-hmm.
that will not endanger the stuff.
Mm.
Imagine if it's putting up here, it's a 30 kilo box
yeah.
and it's going to be very yeah. dangerous.
Yeah. How can you guarantee the security for this room?
This gold vault, okay, you can see is mm-hmm. actually just aesthetically very nice.
Yeah.
But if you strip down everything, mm-hmm. you can actually see it's actually a six-sided panels
mm.
and they are all pieced individually.
I see.
So these individual panels, they are all anti-locking individual panels, mm-hmm. which prevents people from putting in a spy cam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And secondly, each panels, they are all have to go through a certain strict requirement,
mm-hmm.
okay, to actually obtain this UL Class 2
mm-hmm.
security writing,
mm-hmm.
which means there are some materials being used. It has to meet the requirements and they will be tested before the certification issued to them.
I see.
Yes.
So
this is actually a six-sided cage over here.
Okay.
Yes. Ceiling, the mm-hmm. floor, and four-sided walls.
Mm-hmm. The panels must be very heavy, right? I guess.
Yes. So the entire structure of this gold vault alone, it weighs about 30 tons.
30 tons.
Yes. And mm-hmm. the metals that can be stored in this vault over here is up to 60 tons.
OK,
哇、
wow. 哎，怎么样，带大家看了金库和银库还有配套的安全措施，是不是觉得大开眼界哈？但是对于 The Reserve 这样的管理者来说呢，比钢筋混凝土更重要的是信任机制。那么创始人 Gregerson 就说，这个行业里面啊，最大的问题不是盗窃，而是呢一根金条被卖给了五个客户。
When you buy something, we want to make sure it's your ownership. It's not on our balance sheet. And the best way of doing it is for you to buy the bar and get an invoice, just like you buy an ice cream, basically. And then once you buy it, you can choose to take it home, or we can store it for you. And we store such specific bar on your behalf. So we are an agent who stores it and provides liquidity and insures it. But you can take delivery of it anytime and you get photos of it, audit reports, and so on and so on. We also test it. We have testing systems here and we guarantee that it's real. We have a very good insurance and we are only subject to Singapore law. So these are the special things that we are doing. When this gold is stored, you can come and you can audit it. You can say, I want to see my 5 bars.
Mm.
And we'll basically bring the 5 bars down, show you that it's here, you can take delivery of it, and it's essentially your bullion. Mm. So the bigger gold bars, they have a serial number.
Mm.
So you buy the bar by serial numbers. Mm. Some of the smaller bars, they don't have one, but we put it in a tamper-evident bag with a serial number, and then you buy the serial number that's associated with it. But you always have a specific item.
Mm.
And that's very important, because if you don't have that, then you don't know if maybe this bar has been sold to 5 different clients. How do you know?
Mm.
Because that's something happens a lot in the industry. If people don't check the small print, they think they own something, when in reality, it's a liability. And the seller can sell it many times over.
Mm.
And so we wanted to make sure that that can never happen, because in times of crisis, you might have an ugly surprise in some ways.
好，那我们看完了金库和银库，我们来聊聊这些贵金属资产背后一些正在发生的新趋势。那么一个非常根本的问题就是，为什么在2025年和2026年，黄金又一次成为了全球最炙手可热的资产呢？ 这是伊朗的导弹从迪拜哈利法塔上划过，甚至呢还炸到了七星级帆船酒店，这让迪拜在过去数年想把自己打造成中东安全天堂的努力功亏一篑，一度帆船酒店成为全球奢华代名词。棕榈岛上一栋接一栋的豪宅在沙漠里拔地而起，还有自由港、币圈圣地等等这些标签，
甚至我有朋友想在迪拜投资房产哈。但是呢，金融中心从来不只是一堆高楼大厦和豪华酒店，它的底层是一个简单的问题，就是在这片土地上的财富到底安不安全。
当伊朗和以色列的对抗一次次升级，当导弹和无人机的射程把整个海湾都纳入打击范围，当美国也被卷入这些冲突当中，全球的家族办公室无论是老钱还是新贵都在重新审视自己的资产分布，这就引出了一个更大的问题，在2026年的这个时点，什么才是真正的安全？
而这些资本又回到了传统避险资产黄金等贵金属的身上。
截至我们写稿的时候，现货黄金价格已经突破每盎司4800美元，同时 The Reserve 的存储订单同比激增 88%， 贵金属销售飙升 200%， 90% 的新订单来自于新加坡以外的地区。
那 Gregerson 给出了一个宏大的历史框架来解释这一切，那这是一个典型的 Ray Dalio 式的帝国周期论。
We have been seeing a recent surgein the precious metal, especially gold, and also silver recently. Why is that? What's the reason behind it?
The key reason is uncertainty. Throughout history, great powers change. Every 80 to 100 years, we are going, let's say, from the French Empire, we went to the British Empire with the pound sterling, then in comes the United States with the US dollar. And every 100 years, you sort of have a switch. And we believe that we are now at that stage,where we are switching to something else because of three primary reasons. The amount of debt the United States has is becoming completely unsustainable, and there's no clear answer on how to pay for all these expenses. You have more and more geopolitical conflicts that is happening now, and you have internal disruptions within the countries. And these three factors are usually the type of things which are precursors to a reset of the system. And in times like this, people choose to go to physical gold and silver because there's no counterparty risk. If the US dollar or the euro or another currency were to collapse, gold will still be valuable. And you don't have to rely on a bank or somebody else for it to be valuable because you can own it. And so you don't have jurisdictional risk, you don't have minimal jurisdictional risk, you don't have counterparty risk, and it makes it an ideal item to own.When there's a crisis.
那 Gregerson 的这个框架的三个支柱啊很清晰，美国债务不可持续，地缘政治冲突加剧，还有呢各国内部的秩序逐渐失衡。而在这种潜在的系统重置前夜，黄金和白银因为没有对手方风险，成为了最后的信任锚点。
I think it's just starting. If we go back into 1971, this was a year that the United States abandoned the gold standard, and there was 10 years of stagflation.In the United States. During this period, interest rates were quite high because the value of the dollar kept on falling, and growth wasn't very good. It was a very bad period, and during these periods, physical gold and silver do very well. By the time we ended up in 1981, 16% of all investable assets in the United States were in physical gold and silver. Right now, it's less than 1%. So we have a long way to go, andPrecious metals do best in a crisis. They do best when you have a stagflation. And because, especially what's happening now in the Middle East, we're having energy disruptions, we're having food disruptions because one third of all fertilizer is coming from the Middle East. And most of the helium that is used to produce semiconductors in Taiwan and in South Korea is coming from that area. So all of these products are going to go up in price because there will be less and less of them, which will cause inflation to go up.As inflation goes up and growth isn't there, you're going to have stagflation. And so we are entering in a situation which is similar to the 1970s. Ray Dalio also mentioned that. And that means that it's probably going to be a very interesting time for precious metals. And I think right now it's still a very small number of people which are actually buying physical and understand these ideas. But that is increasing quickly. And so we had a 300-400% increase, for example, this year over last year.And we expect to be doubling that again this year.
1981年，美国所有可投资资产的16%都是配置在了实物黄金和白银上。那现在呢，这个数字不到1%。如果历史真的在重演，那么实物金银的需求呢，可能才刚刚开始。
Rogerson 就认为啊，近来的中东地缘政治局势影响的远不止石油，这其中还有一个让很多人忽略的通胀传导链条，就是中东呢生产全球1/3的化肥和1/3的氦气。
It is a huge problem for semiconductors because when you build semiconductors, by the way, I used to work for Advanced Micro Devices in Fab 25, so I was in a clean room back in the year 2000 and so on. But if you make semiconductors, you need helium. And helium is produced as a byproduct from gas extraction.
Right.
Now, both Taiwan and South Korea, which are two of the biggest producers of chips, they're getting the vast majority of the helium from Qatar. Taiwan is getting over 70% from Qatar from one facility. And that facility was damaged recently. So there's almost no helium coming out from Qatar anymore. And this might be the situation for the next 2 or 3 years, because Qatar said this might take 2 or 3 years to fix. If 70% of the helium supply for Taiwan is no longer there, where are all the NVIDIA chips built? They're all coming from Taiwan. And Taiwan is going to have to compete with South Korea, like Samsung. Are we going to use this helium to make NVIDIA chips in Taiwan, or are we going to use it to make Samsung phones? They're going to fight over this helium. No matter what, there's going to be a lot less chips being made, which means the price has to go up. So now we have electronics having to go up. We have food going up. We have electricity going up.And we have gasoline going up and gas going up. You're going to have stagflation. And then you have Trump with the tariffs on top of it and all the other trade imbalances and problems we're having. So it's very clear over the next 5 to 10 years.We are going to feel the after effects of it.
石油涨，天然气涨，化肥涨，粮食涨，氦气断供，芯片涨，电子产品涨，再加上特朗普的关税叠加效应啊，这已经远不是一两个行业的问题了，而变成了一条从中东地缘冲突延伸到了全球消费者钱包的完整通胀链条。
Gregerson 的结论很明确，未来5到10年，世界正在进入类似1970年代的滞胀期。这个时期显著特点就是股票不行，债券不行，房地产不行，唯一表现出色的资产类别就是实物金银。大家来看一下金价走势图啊，在1971年到1982年间，黄金从35美元一路涨到1980年的峰值850美元。
但是呢，在一个无比数字化的今天，还有人会大举购买实物黄金吗？
Oh yes.Definitely, because I think, you know, people used to call Bitcoin the digital gold, but Bitcoin has certain advantages. But at the end of the day, when you go into a big crisis, countries will go back to gold to back the currency. They will not back it with Bitcoin. Central banks are buying gold in order to have reserves to be able to trade with each other. Gold is still going to be that foundational sort of safe haven.Which is sort of common sense for everybody. And now it's just a question of how many people are starting to become distrustful of the existing system. And once they start to become distrustful and they start researching into it, they realize that it doesn't make sense to buy a financial product that is based on gold. You don't want gold exposure, price exposure. You want to own the physical. And there's people from all walks of life right now,which are starting to understand this and coming into this market.
那 Gregerson 就说啊，金库的客户通常呢倾向于长期持有黄金，70%的客户从未出手过手中的黄金，而有售出行为的客户呢，平均持有时长也达到了4.2年。所以呢，这类投资人并不是把实体黄金作为短期投资品，而是作为长期财富保值工具。而一个新问题就出现了，为什么出现了黄金东移潮呢？为什么全球富豪们在把黄金转移到新加坡呢？2025年年初，全球黄金市场上演了一场惊心动魄的挤兑大戏。
特朗普威胁对进口商品加征高额关税，一度不明确黄金和白银是否在征税的范围内。于是呢，所有人都开始疯狂地从伦敦往美国搬运实物黄金，英格兰银行的金库连续数周无法正常交割。
但是这场混乱暴露的不只是物流问题，它还揭开了全球黄金市场最大的秘密，就是绝大部分交易都是纸黄金，背后呢并没有足够的实物去支撑。
There's a lot going on here. First of all, it's not that the Bank of England didn't have the gold. It just takes a certain amount to get it out.
Right. And people were panicking.
People were panicking, but you have to understand why they're panicking. They were panicking because in the United States,the institutions, they don't have much gold. They mostly have paper contracts. Mm. And these future contracts, four times per year or so, you have to do delivery. And so during COVID, some of the banks couldn't get gold out of London because they didn't have much reserves. So they needed to get the gold. And during COVID, the flights didn't work. So they couldn't get the gold out. And they had to find gold in the US to get their delivery requirements. And in some cases, they had to pay $100 above spot. They lost millions and millions of dollars because they couldn't get the gold out of London.
Right.
Now, when Trump said, we are going to put tariffs up, and it wasn't very clear on what, and it wasn't clear whether gold and silver would have tariffs. Well, he was talking about 30% tariffs or something like this. If you take a gold bar, and it's $3,000 per ounce, and you have to pay $1,000 to get it in.
It's a lot of money.
And the bank in the US has to do a delivery at without any tariffs. That's a huge problem. So everybody starts rushing and saying, I need to get my gold from London to the United States just in case we're going to have tariffs on both gold and silver. And so a lot of gold rushed over to the US in preparation for that. And essentially, that's what happened. And that was one of the reasons why we had the silver crash in the silver shortages in England in October 2025, because so much silver went to the US that now there wasn't enough in London.
Yeah.
And that's why in October they had to rush the silver back to London in order to not default.
你很难想象哈，全球最大的黄金交易中心差点因为食物不足而违约。那这个小插曲呢，其实是整个纸黄金问题的一次重要暴露。而这条裂缝啊，不只出现在黄金市场，白银市场的纸面操纵更加的触目惊心。
Now in the case of silver, you had a huge surge that started in October of last year, 2025. Silver ended up going 300-400% from what it used to be before.
Right.
And this was largely becauseBoth gold and silver prices are set in paper markets. And these paper markets don't always reflect the physical availability of gold and silver.
Mm.
And in the case of silver in October, there was not enough silver to provide the supply for the industrial users and the other users of physical silver. And so prices had to go up.
Yeah.
A lot of silver had to come from the United States, from COMEX, go back into the London system to be able to provide enough silver for the system. But overall, every year, there's less and less silver. And soas time passes, prices have to go up in order to reflect that scarcity.
Mm.
But that prices usually don't happen gradually. They can rocket up when there is that scarcity.
Mm.
So these are some of the factors which recently have been pushing precious metals up.
Mm.
And then we had this big crash. The big crash, in the case of silver, for example, was all driven by paper sales. This was not people selling physical silver. It was people selling leveraged shorts positions in the future contracts.
Mm.
And it's my understanding they sold something like 1.5 years of silver mining production without providing any real silver. So the price of silver ended up falling, but we couldn't get any physical silver because it was just paper pushing it down. And so you end up with shortages.
Mm.
And these shortages then ultimately cause the premium of silver to go up. And ultimately, they're going to cause the price of silver going up again because if it's not enough physical, prices have to go up.
一年半的全球白银产量以纯粹的纸面空单形式被抛出，没有提供一克真实的白银，价格呢被打下去了，但是市场上根本买不到实物白银。那这就是纸市场操纵实物价格的典型案例。而从供给端来看啊，白银的问题比黄金更加的严峻。
You take something like solar panels.You need silver because if you were to use copper, it would start to rust, oxidize.
Mm.
And the solar panel might only last for 10 or 12 years, but if you use silver, you can use it for 25 years.
Mm.
And that's why you cannot remove silver. You can reduce silver, but you always have to have it. Similar story if you make a CPU and you know, you need some of that silver, whether the silver is going to cost you 5 cents or 50 cents or even $5, you still need to use that silver.
Mm.
So the demand for silver is...inelastic, meaning even if the price go up, you still need to get that silver. At the same time, the supply of silver is also inelastic because there are almost no silver mines out there. Most silver is produced as a byproduct of nickel, of tin, and other metals like this. And if the price goes up, it takes 5 to 10 to 12 years for new production to come online. And so it's very hard to increase that production. As a matter of fact, over the last 6 years, we had deficits every year. And the deficits can be very high. We had an average of 20% of all silver used was deficit. The supply was around 1 billion ounces. Deficit was 200 million ounces, which means 20%. Now, if you go back to the LBMA system, LBMA system only has 600 million ounces roughly. So they have about 3 years of deficits. Of that amount, a lot of it is already taken by private owners, which means there's only about 200 million of free floating. That is the silver which is available to support industry and other entities. But because we've been using up $200 million per year. Mm. That means that the silver available in the system is only going to last 1 year. That's how much shortage we have in the system.
而全球三大交易所的实物库存正在同步枯竭。The Reserve 一家私人金库存储的白银有600吨，比上海黄金交易所的全部白银库存还多。那这说明啊，全球系统里面的实物金属正在迅速的流失。在这样的背景之下呢，资金正在用脚投票从伦敦和苏黎世流向新加坡。那么金库管理人员就告诉我啊，激增的流入新加坡的实体白银和黄金需求把所有工作人员啊都累坏了。
The highest record we actually received in 1 day, we ordered about 20 tons of silver, and we have to hit timeline, uh-huh. and we have to physically hand carry them and arrange, uh-huh. and you know, take photograph and do all the usual bread and butter business. That was one of the craziest period.
How many staff do you have back then?
At that point of time, we had only about 7 staff.
7 staff who can carry the silver bar?
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot of exercise for each one of you that day. It's crazy.
We just push through the day.
传统的西方金融中心的信任正在被侵蚀。除了伦敦的问题，那瑞士在2023年呢也是出了状况。瑞士信贷陷入了危机，被 UBS 收购。
Did you see clients who have been storing gold in Zurich decide to move it to Singapore?
We did not see a big change because at the end of the day,Credit Suisse was acquired by UBS, so most people did not lose money in all of this. But we have seen a gradual shift where I think people which are having most of their wealth in Switzerland might say, maybe I shouldn't keep it all in Switzerland. Mm. And also Switzerland tends to be quite expensive. So I think there is a low flow out of Switzerland, but that's not anything drastic. Switzerland, I think, still has...you know, a relatively strong currency and a strong position. So we don't see an exodus out,、
right.
but there is some flow.
瑞信的落幕呢没有引发恐慌性的撤离，但是它开始让越来越多的人开始思考啊，也许不应该把所有的鸡蛋呢放在一个篮子里面。而 Gregerson 呢给出了新加坡之所以成为替代选项的三个根本原因。
So why Singapore?
So geopolitically, what makes Singapore interesting, there's three primary reasons.Singapore is very wealthy. If you're going to store your gold in times of crisis,、mm-hmm. you don't want to store it with a government which is heavily in debt. The next point is, all that wealth that Singapore has come by building confidence with foreign investors. And these foreign investors brought some money in and so on and so on. And so on. Now, if Singapore were to nationalize gold、mm-hmm. or betray that confidence in some way, it's economic suicide. The third factor is Singapore is neutral.Singapore does not really have any big enemies, and it is well defended. Singapore is considered a medium-sized army. We can raise an army of 420,000. Our military budget is 3 times that of Malaysia. It is not a city-state like Monaco, which doesn't have much defense. It's actually well defended. And so if you want to store your gold for the next 10, 20 years in one place, Singapore is one of the best places. And it is one of the few countries which will be trusted both by China and by the United States. Mm.And these are all, you know, good reasons for Singapore.
一座金库的安全最终呢不取决于它的墙有多厚，它取决于这座金库所在的国家的法律环境、政治稳定性，以及呢在全球博弈中保持中立的能力。而最让我好奇的一个问题是啊，如果真的天塌了，比如说银行系统冻结 SWIFT 被切断，一些国家，比如说啊美国政府，举个例子哈，宣布黄金国有化，那么一个身在德国的客户怎么把存在新加坡的黄金变成着急要用的钱呢？
worst case scenario. So if there is a black swan event, and for example, a sovereign debt crisis or major currency failure, how does a client actually utilize the wealth stored here?
Gold or silver is physical, and it's not going to collapse or disappear if there's a banking crisis. And then the question is, well, if you are in Germany, for example, and you need some money and your gold is stored in Singapore, how do you get to it? And that will depend on what situation at that point. If the banking system works, then, you know, we could use a banking system. Now, if the U.S. nationalizes gold and you cannot use the SWIFT banking system, can we use the CHIP system, the Chinese system, for example? Or maybe we need to use something like Bitcoin. Or a USDT sort of thing. So these are all different options that are out there. Because the important thing to know is, in a crisis, physical gold and silver will always be valuable. It will be more valuable in a crisis because people don't trust other things. So finding a way on how to transfer some of that value, worst case with something like Bitcoin, but it depends on the receiver. If, you know, Bitcoin is an option, but does a receiver, as a client, actually use a Bitcoin? If it sends to Germany, can you use a Bitcoin to give to somebody else? These basically are some of the questions. But essentially, because the physical gold is separate from all of this, any of these options that are available at that point, you know, could be used. Or the client could fly here, take the gold himself.
那 Gregerson 就告诉我，他花了16年来为金融崩溃做好准备。这听起来像是一个偏执狂的故事啊。但如果说金融崩溃没有发生呢，这个世界的发展不会像他想象中那么糟糕呢。
So you've been betting your entire career on one thesis, which is, you know, the physical gold will face more demand and the price will continue to go up. But we've seen some correction of the gold prices recently. What if you're wrong? What if the world doesn't need that much gold?
You know, I'm not even that big a fan of gold or silver, necessarily, in normal times. But the issues we are facing now are issues which we created for 40, 50 years. When I started Silver Bullion, in many ways, it was because I was upset. I was upset at European and American politicians because we had strong countries, especially in Europe. Most people now said their kids are going to be worse off than their parents. We have pension systems which cannot be funded. In Europe, same thing in the US. We have Medicare. Our infrastructure is decaying. So many bad decisions was made. Things are bad. These problems need to be solved for there not to be a crisis. But there is no way of solving them. You created this over 40 years. All my life experience, living in, growing up in Europe, in the United States, and coming to Singapore ultimately, has basically taught me that we are in a period of decline in the West, and there has to be this reset. So I don't see any scenario where this can be solved other than through a crisis. And if the crisis is coming, what you hold, gold and silver, makes sense. Now, there are different phases in history when gold and silver is not that interesting. Between 1982 to 2007, gold was quite boring. You know, but that was a time when the US dollar was strong, stock markets boomed, economy was doing quite well overall, and gold only appreciated maybe 2-3%. Now, gold will always appreciate because you're measuring it in US dollars, and they're always going to print more money, even in good times. It's just when you go into a crisis period, then it's going to, you know, go up in value a lot more. So even if, you know, the worst case scenario doesn't happen, gold and silver is still not going to be a bad investment. But assuming some big crisis and a systemic crisis will happen, and I don't see any way how it cannot happen, then it's very important for people to own at least a little bit of gold and silver.
这背后更大的图景是啊，新加坡正在争夺全球黄金交易和存储的话语权。黄金基础设施的建设本身就具有战略意义，谁掌握了贵金属的交易网络和存储的能力，谁就能够在新秩序中占据一席之地。
And there's a saying, you know, two is one, one is none, meaning that the gold or silver you put in a jurisdiction like this, it's meant to be your backup plan. So in case things go wrong, have a little bit here, have a little bit there.So it makes a lot of sense. And maybe in the past, I think Singapore was not recognized as much as a gold hub. And as it becomes more popular, it's only natural for more gold or silver to flow into Singapore.
那么在片子的最后呢，我们必须要声明啊，我们的节目不构成任何的投资建议。 Gregor Gregson 呢，作为私人金库的创始人，他对黄金和白银价格的看多，以及呢对宏观经济的判断，本身和他压住的业务呢是强相关的，所以呢也请大家理性的看待这期节目他的观点哈。我们呢也只是从一个信仰黄金作为安全资产的角度，给大家展示一下这一派人物他们的想法和信念。而对于 Gregson 本人呢，他是一个从德国到意大利到美国再到新加坡的人，他形成了一套自己独特的世界观，并且呢用几乎半生的经历和这座金库物理性的表达了他对这个世界的判断。你完全可以不同意他哈，但是呢 The Reserve 88% 的储存订单增量是事实，90%的新订单来自海外也是事实。也许呢最值得我们思考的不是黄金能够涨多少，而是呢 Gregson 反复提到的那句格言 Two is one and one is none。 那么这句话呢出自于美国海豹突击队，他想强调的是，如果你只带了一件关键的装备 one， 那一旦它坏了，你就陷入了零 none 的一个境地；如果你带了两件，那么其中的一件坏了，你手里面还有一个 one 可以持续的战斗。那么这座金库想要传递出来的信号是，面对未来的不确定性，大家可以想想两件装备和 Plan B 的备用方案。那它可以不是黄金，它可以是其他你认为任何安全的信仰资产。但是呢，把鸡蛋放在不同的篮子里面这件事情，至少呢，对一些人来说，正在变得越来越重要了。好啦，那么以上就是这期视频的全部内容了。我是陈倩，你们的留言、点赞和转发是支持我们硅谷101做好深度科技和商业内容的最佳动力。那我们就下期视频再见了，拜。